Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today I am going to be looking over two of the transits that are kicking off our week. One of them is the now just fading square between Mercury and Neptune, which came through yesterday over the weekend. And then today, of course, we have the perfection of Mars's square to Uranus, which we visited last week in a couple of videos. Now, today's video will be rather brief. I'm on family vacation right now. We, as a family, are visiting the Redwoods. We're in, I don't know if you guys know where Trinidad, California is, but we are up in Northern California doing some family camping and a little bit of like Airbnb stay and a little bit of camping to see the Redwoods. So anyway, I'm still making some content this week, but it'll be a little bit briefer than usual. And I'm obviously not in my home studio, so the video and audio quality might be not what you're used to, but then things will be back to normal next week. So thank you for your patience. In the meantime, as always, before we get into talking about these transits today, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments in the comment section. You guys know that helps the channel to grow quite a bit. Really appreciate that. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks, including today's, on my website, which is nightlightastrology.com. When you are there at the website, be sure to check out all of my readings and courses. We've had a few courses that just started recently. Not too late to jump in if you still would like to. And if you're looking over courses or readings and you have any questions, email us info@nightlightastrology.com. Okay, well, there are two transits we are looking at today. Yesterday, June 25th, Mercury in the sign of Gemini squared Neptune in the sign of Pisces. And then today, we had Mars squared Uranus. That's today. Now, Mars squared to Uranus is definitely I would describe it as one of the more potent transits of the month, if not the summer. It's a very powerful transit, and we spent a lot of time talking about it last week. I'm going to just kind of refresh us today on some of the archetypal signatures of Mars square Uranus, along with Mercury square Neptune, which you could very well still be feeling today, maybe into tomorrow. So these two transits to start the week. I'm going to see if I can pull them up on the real-time clock, though I'm on my laptop, and I find that sometimes it's really difficult to do so on my laptop, so let's just see if I can. Yeah, here we go. Okay, so you should be able to see the transits on the screen now, and I am not able, for some reason on my laptop, I'm not able to use my pen. So I apologize because this is definitely not the usual setup that I have. But you'll notice in this picture, if you take a look at Mercury in Gemini, which is sitting in the 10th house of this display, and you can see it's at about 29 degrees. If we go back just a day, yesterday afternoon, Sunday, June 25th, Mercury would have made its square to Neptune and was building over the weekend. And then today into tomorrow, the square fades as Mercury enters the sign of Cancer. But that's very much still in the air today. The other transit is you'll see Mars in the sign of Leo in the 12th house in this picture. The houses don't matter. We're just looking at the random placement in the sky. This chart is set to New York City at the moment. But anyway, you'll see that Mars at 21 Leo is square to Uranus at 21 Taurus. And that's in the air today. And if we take it forward, you could say that this is going to be in the air really all the way until Saturday, July 1st. So we have essentially a full week of Mars and Uranus lingering in the air. And just today, maybe a little bit into tomorrow, of Mercury and Neptune still hanging around. So we want to discuss those transits, and I'll put this one up first. So yesterday, Mercury squared Neptune. You may have noticed this energy over the weekend. You could still be noticing it today, maybe a little bit into tomorrow. And some of the basic signatures of Mercury and Neptune include, for example, cloudy or foggy communication, or poor boundaries or boundary issues in communication, oversharing, gossiping, having no filter, not knowing the right time, not sensing the right time or place to talk about a particular topic, as well as weaving complicated webs with words and emotions that are sticky and hard to get out of. Those would all be some of the more, let's call them negative or challenging signatures of Mercury square Neptune around communication. But interestingly, I have a little bit of allergies here. Interestingly, Mercury square to Neptune can also be associated with intuition. And people that occasionally have flashes of precognition where 5 minutes before someone calls you, you start thinking about them and then they call you. Those little magical moments of intuition or foresight, or even like, I guess a little moment of clairvoyance or something like that, often associated with Mercury Neptune. Mercury Neptune can also be about dreams and the interpretation of dreams. It can be about mysticism and philosophy. It can be about non-ordinary states of consciousness and how we make sense of them. Or, for example, the science behind psychedelics and psychedelic therapy would be very Mercury Neptune-like. Anything that has to do with the development of a skill that is both mercurial and sort of romantic, imaginative, otherworldly, Neptunian would be fitting for this combination, such as the development of creative writing skills, or writing of a screenplay, or even the development of some kind of musical skill or ability. When Mercury combines with Neptune, everything about Mercury, the craftsman, can be combined with Neptune, the romantic or the mystic, to bring about some pretty cool synthesis. So Mercury square Neptune can certainly be about not seeing or thinking clearly, the ability to be easily deluded or led astray, gossip, lies, deception. Those are all, straight out of the textbook for Mercury square Neptune. But also you have this way in which the two planets in their combination can bring eloquent, subtle communication, emotional and mental energies working together to create like a mind-body type of intelligence, emotional intelligence, as well as intellectual or rational intelligence working together cooperatively, or finding that they need to in order to solve a problem. Mercury square Neptune can also be about unclear communication and the need for clearer, more grounded ways of speaking or understanding one another. So anyway, talking around Mercury square Neptune, just as something to be aware of, this has been in our field, so to speak, since late last week, probably about Friday, perfected Sunday, and is still in the air today and tomorrow. You might have already noticed this very powerfully over the past few days. So if so, and it's already passing, at least you can now, put an archetypal stamp next to it in your journal, which can be really helpful. So onward to the transit, the big transit that's starting our week off, which is Mars's square to Uranus. What a powerful dynamic this one is. And we talked about this at length last week, right? So I mentioned that in particular, this transit has a lot of fear around it. And I told you guys some stories, real life stories, from my work over the years and different things that I've heard in client sessions and from students and people on social media. And in each of those stories, the main theme was one of facing some kind of facing some kind of frustration or hurdle or obstacle that at times could kind of come out of nowhere and be like an affront or like a direct challenge, or even kind of like a hostile and intense sudden interruption of your life. But the same energy that comes suddenly and interrupts is also creating a breakthrough, is also responsible for knocking over the domino that knocks over the series of dominoes that leads to greater freedom, independence, and liberation. It's especially important when you're working with Mars and Uranus, especially in oppositions or squares, which are more difficult, that we are all careful about our impulse control. Mars Uranus is not known for its impulse control. It tends to be, like in a story I told you guys last week, it tends to be the moment of road rage where your temper gets away from you. Not that any of you guys are going to do anything like that, but I've heard a story, and I told the story last week about a gentleman who experienced a moment of road rage that was so intense and that he almost ruined his whole life because of it, but it led to him hitting rock bottom and going to AA and getting sober. Mars Uranus will fly off the handle quickly. And the thing that we don't always recognize is we don't always recognize the potential of a situation to escalate very quickly with Mars Uranus, because often the situation doesn't seem like that big of a deal on the surface, but then suddenly it can escalate and tempers can flare very quickly, and you can say or do things that you'll really regret. Now, that whole process somehow may end up leading to some kind of silver lining. I also mentioned last week that the fact that Uranus in Taurus is also co-present with Jupiter in Taurus right now is tremendously helpful, because the co-presence of Jupiter means that Mars is in a square with Jupiter. Jupiter is in the overcoming or superior position, as is Uranus, which generally means that there's a buffer or a kind of built-in grace and beneficence that is watching over this square. I mean, a lot of the times squares between Mars and Uranus don't have Jupiter in the mix saying, we'll make this a little softer, we'll turn this into something positive, we'll put an opportunity in the mix of this sudden twist of fate that could otherwise be damaging or destructive or frustrating. So again, the co-presence of Jupiter is really helpful. But again, you just have to be so careful that a small situation doesn't escalate quickly, that you watch for yourself around impulse control, that you notice that other people around you may have trouble with those things too. And be careful, it's like sticky glue. The archetypal fields will pull you into them. Someone that you know could be really losing their shit, so to speak, and it could pull you right in. And one of the reasons that you'll get pulled into it is because it's Mars Uranus is very, it not only triggers the person that is acting out, but it will tend to trigger a response of opposition in general from other people. It's a transit that is very defiant and polarizing. And while that may be good if you have to stand up to a tyrant, or stick up for yourself on the playground if you're a kid and say, I'm not going to be bullied or something like that. Okay, great energy. But if someone around you is being a real jerk and they act out, it is all the more likely that you will push back with this transit. And maybe that's a good idea. A lot of the times, I think with this transit, things can escalate. So just be careful. Now, the other thing with Mars square Uranus that's so very positive is the potential to harness this energy to act, to assert, to do something. It requires a little bit of courage, and that constitutes breaking through a self-imposed limitation, a fear, an insecurity, a self-doubt, a level of maybe a lack of belief, maybe a lack of belief in ourselves. And Mars Uranus comes along and says, it's kind of like Nike or something, just do it. So there's an opportunity in this transit at the start of the week to also wisely, intelligently take a risk and push through a limitation and find that you don't have to be limited by the same thing anymore. Even little kids, when Mars Uranus comes around, I've noticed this with my two girls. When Mars Uranus comes around, there will be just a feeling of needing to push limits and barriers. I'm going to climb on this part of the playground that I've never climbed on before. You got to be careful, you know, watching your kids with accidents, jumping their skateboard over something that's too big, or I mean, that kind of stuff. You know, accidents can happen with Mars Uranus, but also the overcoming of fears can happen. We're here in Northern California, for example, and there's a Bigfoot museum, and we talked about, oh, we should go, and my youngest, who's 4, has been just, I don't want to go. That's too scary. It's too scary. Okay. We don't have to go. My older one is like, come on, you know, she's so frustrated. And the littler one is saying, I'll go. Okay. I'll go. We said, oh yeah, that's great. You changed your mind. Great. We'll go. Yeah. Because I don't believe Bigfoot is real. And, my older girl said, well, you don't believe in Bigfoot? Well, what's going to happen next? You're not going to believe in unicorns? You know, she's like really mad. And my younger one said, I don't care what you think. I don't believe in Bigfoot. And I was encouraging. I was like, you don't have to believe in Bigfoot. And I like that you're taking a stand for what you believe in. She said, yeah, I can go to the museum because I don't believe in him. Very Mars Uranus to take a stand against her sister who deeply believes in Bigfoot. So I can go to the museum because I don't believe in him. She was having a little face off with her sister. And I just noticed, like, that's a very Mars. She's getting over a fear and standing up for something and moving past the personal limitation. And it's a very small little thing, but for little kids, that's a big Mars Uranus moment. It can be just like that. Just something so simple. Anyway, I'm in this room in the Airbnb that we're staying in, and very glad to be joining you guys today and hopefully giving you some good things to use at the start of this week. Be back tomorrow, and as this is our first day here, maybe I'll have some reflections to share with you. We're going to see the Ladybird Johnson Trail that we're going to today to do some hiking. I don't know if you guys have ever been there before. This is really, really magical for me because I've never seen the Redwoods before. My wife came when she was pretty young, but you guys know Ashley. She loves trees. She loves plants. So this is a little Cancer Taurus family dream come true for a vacation. We've been wanting to do this for many years. We've talked about doing this. So it's pretty cool to be here. It's beautiful. So if you guys are from this neck of the woods, like, wow. It's so cool. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was here on the first day in Trinidad, and I went to a grocery store, and someone actually recognized me. And they got on their phone, and they called, and they said, hey, they called up this other woman, and they said, you know, Adam Ellenboss is here in the grocery store, and you got to come over. So I waited there in the grocery store. This woman came over who happened to be a student in one of my programs. And so I got to give her a big hug, and we took a picture together right there in the grocery store. I got back and I told Ashley, I was like, it was the first time that I've ever been recognized outside of like an astrology conference, you know, where people know who astrologers are. So I was like, moving up in the world. I got a fan club in Trinidad, California. Makes sense. It feels to me like a very cool little hippie village. So So I was like, this is my people for sure. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing well. Before you leave, don't forget to like and subscribe. Share your comments in the comment section. It really helps everything grow. Really appreciate you guys. You can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, nightlightastrology.com. Don't forget, if you have a story to share with these transits, use the hashtag grabbed or email us your story grabbed at nightlightastrology.com. All right, that's it for today. Take care, everyone. Bye.